You can't delegate digital transformation for your company. You and your executives have to own it. Executives need to engage, embrace, and adopt new ways of working with the latest in emerging technologies. And that's where we come in. Welcome to Embracing Change. The business world is changing at a faster pace than it ever has, and companies need to keep up. We interview the most interesting CEOs, CMOs, and other executives to talk about their challenges with digital transformation in their industry. This is Embracing Change, and this is your host, Gerardo Carrick.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Embracing Change, where we explore how changes in technology and consumer behavior are affecting businesses across industries. I am your host, Gerardo Carrick, and today we're talking about the challenges of digital transformation in large organizations. My guest today is Rafael Acevedo, former CMO of Dunkin' Brands and Coca-Cola Marketing and General Management Executive. Rafael has had more than 20 years of experience leading brand transformations in the North America market with Diet Coke and the tea portfolio, and he has also led global brands like Sprite and Coke Zero. Welcome, Rafael. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Gerardo. Thanks for inviting me to have a conversation with you today.
No, welcome. Very, very happy you accepted. So, Rafael, why don't you start with a quick introduction of yourself and of your background for our audience?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a very quick summary. I'm originally from Caracas, Venezuela. I grew up there until I was 25 years old. That's why you probably see a little bit of an accent that I still carry with me. And then I came to the U.S. to do my MBA in Atlanta at Emory University. And then I had the opportunity to join Coke for about, 20 years and had a wide range of roles in marketing, general management, global U.S. and had an excellent experience. Cannot say enough good things about Coke. And then I had the opportunity to spend some time with Dunkin' Brands as they are in their journey to continue to modernize that brand, and also had an excellent experience there.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it's interesting. There's so many people from Venezuela that have immigrated to the U.S. and they have taken very important roles in different organizations. I'm always impressed about the. It's a small country, but it seems that there's Venezuelans everywhere.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Yeah, obviously very proud to come from Venezuela, and due to a lot of the changes in the country, a lot of people have left, and I think that we are a very passionate bunch that are very hungry to try to make our mark and work hard. So like a lot of other people that come and they leave their country and they come to the U.S.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love the immigration journey. I mean, we could do a podcast about that one day.
Yeah.
Totally. So, but today we're talking about digital transformation, which is the main topic that we like to discuss with the brand executives and CEOs that we interview in this podcast. So I guess my question to you is, how would you define a digital transformation? In what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I probably will think about it in a very broad sense as consumers really being powered by technology, right? I mean, it's incredible to think about the massive change that is happening in the consumer landscape and how brands are trying to adapt to it. And I think that everything is becoming digitized. Consumers are in control. And a lot of brands that have had a rich history have had to really, speed up and adapt to the speed of change. And really, I think about digital transformation as essentially how consumers are consuming content, completely transforming the way that they shop. Mm-hmm. And I think about that as a critical element in terms of the marketing mix and how good marketers and brands have to think about connecting with consumers.
It has changed in a way the way marketeers look at KPIs, right? I'm thinking about you and I, we share a similar background in a sense, you know, big brands, big marketing budgets, traditional marketing. We grew up with traditional marketing and we've seen the transformation into digital and performance marketing, right? And in a way, it requires a completely change, a complete change in the mindset of what is it to have success in a marketing campaign.
Yeah, and a lot of what is happening is obviously with the rise of performance marketing. You have so much more ability to measure everything, and that has really changed the game. I try to think that in some ways the pendulum, you know, is as you probably think about it, sometimes it swings very hard towards one end. I think that in the last few years, I think that it's probably performance marketing has become, you know, so big that in my mind it's important to balance that with just a more traditional, you know, approach of connecting with consumers and making sure that you're looking at that holistically. Because there are some things that you need to do to connect with consumers that are very hard to measure. And it's important to understand those two things. And you need both. You need both to really build brands and to really connect with consumers in the right way.
I couldn't agree more. Something that I've always thought there is an opportunity and there is a gap is the connection between big brand ideas and performance marketing, right? Yes. Because you still need those big brand ideas that are rooted on consumer insights and that, you know, make that connection and make your brand relevant and resonate with consumers. But then how do you translate that into the thousands of variants that you could have in performance marketing and still have that impact? It's one of the key challenges, right? And I think what's happening is that you still have those traditional creative agencies that would create those, you know, that would mine those insights and would create those ideas. And then you have the performance marketing agencies that are very good operationally at, you know, setting up campaigns and optimizing, etc. But there's like there's an opportunity to improve the translation and the connection between that big brand idea and the implementation.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that you did a very good job summarizing that opportunity. And that's when I think that magic happens, right? Because I think that you need to be very clear about what is that big brand idea that you're trying to communicate to consumer, and as much as possible stay true and authentic to that, and continue to modernize that through the way that consumers are changing. But then how you deploy that idea with the power of technology is when I think that performance marketing really has a very important role to play, but it should be connected to that. Otherwise, mm-hmm. it can become very transactional and very, almost the tactics end up like overpowering the strategy. And it's very mm-hmm. important. You have a balance between the two. And I think that, you know, brands obviously like Nike do an incredible job at really staying true of who they are, their idea, staying very consistent, being very big and iconic when they need to be, and then also obviously use performance marketing, especially because more and more they are connecting directly to consumers, mm-hmm. really target the right way consumers, segment their audience, drive loyalty, and that's when the magic happens. I think mm-hmm. that when you skew too much towards one end or the other, I don't think that you get it right, but when you get that balance right, is when magic happens.
Absolutely. I totally agree. So let me talk, let me change the conversation a little bit more macro, right? So I'd like to have a conversation with you about, or know your thoughts about, the organizational challenges of digital transformation, right? You know, what is it that a digital transformation, What does it stresses within an organization?
Yeah, obviously, you know, organizations are living organisms that are going through a lot of change to adapt to the different changes that are happening in culture, in society, in technology. Usually what I see is that a lot of companies tend to create like a center of excellence that helps to drive the digital transformation in the company. Mm-hmm. And what I think that that creates for marketers is an interesting situation where more and more marketing is getting decentralized in the company. There are so many people, especially as digital becomes more embedded in the organization, that have access to different elements that interact with the consumer. And that could sometimes create a lot of fragmentation in the way that the consumer experience brands. So I think that as companies are changing their organizations and trying to embed digital centers of excellence, the key is how do you make sure that that stays connected to the broader picture and the vision of what the marketing agenda is trying to drive, and how consumers can make sure that they're experiencing one brand. Because if you think about what is happening right now with a lot of shopping happening in your phone, the way that, for example, you experience that the brands when you're going through that experience, so much that is happening, for example, with consumers and customer, call centers and the experience that they have there. Then you have what we're communicating in the dialogue that marketers are having directly with consumers. And if you don't find a way organizationally to try to make sure that all of that is connected, it can create a lot of fragmentation. And I think that that's one of the things that as a challenge, as digital transformation gets embedded in the organization, that I think that is very important. I mean, a lot of companies, for example, have loyalty centers of excellence. And I think that sometimes that can get very disconnected from the broader agenda of the brand. Mm-hmm. The look of feel can be very different. And I think that it's very important to have one to the consumers. All of that doesn't matter. What they want to see is a very homogeneous brand experience, no matter what touch point they're connecting the brand with.
And is it different for consumer brands than, or let me ask it differently. How is it different for a consumer brand versus a service brand?
Yeah, I think that is my experience is that it's probably very different in that a service brand, probably you have a lot more direct interaction, as you can imagine, with a consumer. Mm-hmm. And the speed in which your digital platforms have to be able to respond to those changes is a different animal in that sense. And obviously, because you have a very direct interaction from a service perspective with the consumers, the customer care, if you will, is very important. The way I think about it is almost like a flywheel, right? No matter what business you're in, you're trying to attract consumers, you're trying to engage consumers, and then you're trying to delight them. The loyalty so that they can come back. If you do it well, they're going to get their funds at the end of the journey, and they're going to probably tell their friends, they're going to have a good review. Mm-hmm. But if that doesn't work, all the other work that you're doing is going to come crashing down, and you're going to start losing those consumers. So to answer your question directly, I think that in the service industry, that loop of attract, engage, and the delight piece, especially the delight piece, it becomes very, very critical.
Of course, of course. And not only critical, but I recall my conversation with Gaston Banetti from Cox Communications a few months back. And one of the things that he was talking about was, the challenge of aligning an organization, right, with this mindset, with this strategy, and not only aligning it strategically, but then the consumer touch points with the new opportunities enabled by digital transformation. Because digital transformation, if we look at it, it's affecting not only on the performance marketing element, which is at the very front end, right? But then in the delivery of the service, right? All of that process needs to be thought through as a customer journey, right? And it has a human interaction. It almost flip-flops between a digital interaction and a human interaction, a digital interaction and a human interaction. And being able to connect all of those dots in a seamless way that improves the customer experience is very, very challenging.
Very challenging. And that's exactly what I'm saying. And sometimes, as organizations are embracing digital transformation, as I mentioned, they create these centers of excellence, which really help to bring best-in-class talent to drive that change. And that is a great first step. And then the question is, how do you embed that change throughout the organization so that you are connecting those dots?
Of course.
And connecting those dots is again where magic happens. And if you do it very well, it creates such a positive loop with consumers and customers that essentially they almost become your recruiting tool. But if you don't do it right, you can be doing one great thing on one end and then it can fall apart on the other one.
Of course, of course. So let me ask you something else. We talked about the challenges of organizations, but what about the challenges for the brands per se? You know, what are the new challenges posed for in a multi-connected world?
Yeah, that's a great question. I will probably start just by saying that, you know, technology has really superpowered consumers and they are in control now. And that's, I think, one of the biggest changes. It used to be, if you go back maybe 50 or 60 years, that consumers were looking for content, ways to interact with brands and entertain themselves. You think about somebody, I don't know, 60 years ago that was watching TV, even without a remote control, just getting out of your couch to change the channel with a remote control was going to make you be very, very focused on what you were doing, and you had a very clear captive audience. I think that now, obviously, you superpower, you know, 60 years forward, and it's incredible to see just how empowered consumers are, and it's very important for brands to add value to consumers. Is the days of us interrupting them and trying to interrupt what they're doing with a message, I think that are going to become more difficult. And frankly, consumers become very frustrated, right, with that. So brands have to find a way to really understand, as you think about the consumer journey, what are the touch points where I can really add value to them? And how can I have an interaction with them and almost a conversation with them? Mm-hmm. And obviously, video now is exploding again with the rise of platforms like TikTok. And what is interesting is on one hand, you're trying to think about, I need to create content that is very short and simple. But the reality is that if the content is good, they're going to watch it. And they're going to watch it for a long period of time. The question is, can you really create very, very good content that is going to add value to consumers and that is going to entertain consumers and say something about your brand that is fulfilling a need for them? And that is becoming, obviously, the expectations of consumers are becoming so high that going back to what we were saying at the beginning of the conversation, I think that more than ever, it's important for brands to be very clear about their positioning, who they are, be very honest about that and very authentic, trying to embrace what they are and not necessarily chasing trends and trying to be something that they're not. And try to have a very open conversation with consumers and be very realistic about the areas where the brand can add value versus becoming noise for consumer. And the other thing that I would say is just obviously the speed of change is just incredible. So I'm a big believer that brands need to have a very clear idea, like we were saying, and you need to stay true to that strategy, but then you need to be very flexible and you need to be very open to try to experiment once you have that idea. And the days of having this perfect piece of content are becoming less often, and it's more about really experimenting and almost giving up your brand to consumers so that they can experiment with it as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think it's so interesting you touch upon that, because that's something that we could not do before, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, and now it's part of the process, which is A/B testing, right? And you have, you don't know what the right answer is, but you can find out very quickly, right? Yeah. And you find out quickly, and then you scale up what's working, and you call out what's not, and you're constantly improving, and that way, you know, you are delivering what's working for consumers, right? I think something in my experience, our audience knows, and you know, we do digital transformation consulting, and we have agency services, right? And one of the things that we found working with clients is that one of the most difficult things to accept is the fact that in the past, as brands or as companies, we owned information, right? We owned information and we provided the information that we wanted to consumers, right? So we had a lot of power. The thing now is that, in a multi-connected world, consumers have the power because they have way more information than we do, right? So when they're coming into a store to purchase a product, they've researched the product. They spoke to people about the product. They read reviews, right? They checked what is the best price. They know exactly what they want. So it's important to accept that and actually work with that, right? And I think a lot of companies need to understand that the power has shifted, right? So brand reputation now is, working on your brand reputation is very, very important, right? If you're doing something wrong, people are going to find out, right? And you're going to have to manage that. So it's not only when it comes to product functionality or with quality control, but it has to do also with where is it that you manufacture your product? What are your employment policies? You know, all of these things now have a say in a decision, right? And marketing has to be able to deal with that as well. So you can think about the strategy and the campaign, but if there's something happening that is related to employment policies because you hire people in China and something comes up with that, now that's a marketing problem as well and a communications problem as well, right? So I think that's something that we did not have to deal with when we started our career, and it's now part of the role.
Completely. And it goes back to what we were saying before about the control, that consumers now more than ever are in control, and to your point, they have so much power, and organizations and brands have to be very transparent, honest, and authentic in the way that they communicate. And again, they need to think about and connect all those dots and integrate all those dots inside the organization, because to the consumer is one brand, mm-hmm. even though probably it may be, you may see a supplier that you're using in another country as a separate company, they see it as one value chain, and you need to be very cognizant of that. And I think that to that line of thinking, I think that, for example, sustainability is going to continue to become front and center of how consumers are going to make a lot of their decisions. I think that, you know, you start to look, I was talking with somebody this week that flew to the East Coast from the West Coast and was telling me about experiencing, 110 degree weather mm-hmm. in the West Coast, not a lot of water there. Then we're in the East Coast, we're getting this crazy amount of rain. Then I had another conference call with somebody from London, and she was telling me that she went home and literally was completely drenched and has never seen so much rain mm-hmm. there. And all these things are happening. And I think that companies that really take a leading role on being very active at the way that are trying to reduce their environmental footprint are going to be rewarded by consumers, and they need to be very transparent. And I love the work that Patagonia does when they're saying we're not perfect. I mean, their ambition is they want to save the planet, but they're the first one to admit that they're not perfect in all the work that they're doing, but they mm-hmm. are parent, and they are very open about communicating the journey that they're in and the big ambitions that they have. And I think that when you do that, I think that consumers really connect with those brands. The brands that are not taking that into consideration or do not have very serious initiatives to really have a very active role on that, I think they're going to suffer in the future.
Of course. So in broader terms, how do you think consumers have changed? I mean, we know that they care more about the environment, right? They have more information. They have more control. What else?
Well, the other thing that I think those three are very important. And then I think that coming out of COVID-19, frankly, what we're going to see, which was already a big trend, but we're going to see, I think, even more this desire for experiences. And I know that we have always used that as a fundamental insight into millennials, but I think that even more than ever, that's going to become very important. And if you think about passion points and really being connected, and experiencing life connected with friends, whether that is in your loved ones, whether that is traveling, whether that is experiencing live music, I think that we're going to see this increase in the desire for experiences. And obviously, technology can play a very important role in that. But I think that if you think about especially Gen Z that spent 2 years where they were deprived of a lot of interaction socially, I think that is going to significantly overpower what we're going to start to see in the next few years in terms of people really wanting to be with each other and connecting.
It's almost like pent-up demand, right?
Yeah, completely, completely. I think there's pent-up demand, but it's also something that I think that probably will have more lasting effect in the way that I think about material goods versus experiences. And I think that more and more, I think that having 2 years where people, especially Gen Zs, couldn't connect with each other as much, are going to probably superpower that even beyond the pent-up demand. I think that it's going to have something more of a trait in how they experience their life.
And what do you think about the adoption of or the acceleration that COVID brought to the adoption of e-commerce and purchasing things online and interacting through a screen instead of in person?
Yeah, I think that I see the evolution and the acceleration of e-commerce as here to stay for sure. And and I think that that is about convenience, for sure. And then I see again this that balance between that and this more for fun and life experiences, having more of that personal connection. So I think that those two things are probably gonna happen in tandem. And you could see a little bit of tension between the two, but I think those two things are gonna stay true. I think that obviously consumers have become very used to convenience, and I think that's something that and then that can free up time to do more things that you enjoy. So the other thing that I think as a big trend is this idea, and I know that it's a word that has been probably used a lot, but this idea of authenticity, I think that is very important, and it's very interesting to see what is happening right now in social media with again, if you see platforms like TikTok with user-generated created content, how in many ways consumers are presenting themselves, how they really are without being very polished. And then you're seeing platforms like Instagram where people were trying to portray an image that was probably too filtered about who they are. How all that is evolving, and you look at a platform now like Be Real, that is starting to grow like crazy, where consumers are trying to connect one time per day and really share in a very authentic way where they are. That's another interesting thing that is happening that I think that is here to stay in terms of consumers really trying to be more who they are versus trying to pretend to be somebody that they're not. And we're going to see that probably play out in marketing in a big way.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Very interesting. And I'm always very attracted also to how experience and e-commerce are actually crossing paths. And something that I've seen a lot of growth lately is the concept of subscription boxes, right? And you see subscription boxes, it started with probably with clothing, right? And you have like a personal shopper that it's sending you every month a box with clothing that would probably fit your style. To now, I've seen it in everything, right? You have it for Scotch whiskeys. Yesterday, I saw one for outdoor activities, right? It would send you.
Even food, right? I mean, like for example, salmon or fish, and you can get a box with different type of very fresh fish and it's a libro, was an experience and a surprise for you.
It's almost an experience and a surprise, right? So I find that very, very interesting because it's to me, it's a combination of this trend of wanting to experience new things with a very convenient solution. I don't have to go out and figure out what new things I want to experience. I'm going to get a box and it's going to be a surprise box for me. And I don't know. I think that that has opened up different business models that that did not exist before. And it's all part of what's going on now with the people staying more at home. They don't want to go out shopping. They don't want to go out browsing stores, but they're very happy to continue spending money. And somebody else is providing that convenience for them. So very interesting.
And to your point, that can free up time that they can spend connecting with other people, per what we were saying about, for example, what happened with COVID-19. So I don't need to spend as much time probably going to the supermarket, but I can spend more time, seeing my friends.
So we've already started touching upon marketing trends, right? So this need for experience, people wanting to travel more after 2 years of not being able to live homes, e-commerce acceleration. Any other marketing trends that, well, obviously authenticity? You talked about authenticity. Anything else that that you see coming in the next few years?
Yeah, obviously. What we're seeing with artificial intelligence, what we're seeing in terms of how companies are able to data mine and really understand consumer behavior to add more value to them. We're seeing, obviously, we need to see how everything is going to evolve with the metaverse and augmented reality. I think that is it's infancy. But I think that this, if I were to really think about in my mind, the things that are going to superpower the way that we connect with consumers, I think, again, the idea of experiences, the idea of, connected in a very authentic way. I see that in sustainability. I see that as probably the three big areas where you really want to focus on.
It's very interesting you talk about data mining because I've seen a growth in our conversations with clients in terms of the issues of data mining. So right now, the last couple of months, what I've heard is we almost have too much information, too many insights.
Yeah.
And what does this mean for the business? Where do we start? What takes priority?
Yeah, sometimes you can have too much information and the key is the 80-20, right? How do you really try to simplify the information that you're getting back and really focus on the things that are really going to move the needle and help you to uncover consumer insights. In many ways, the fundamentals of marketing have not changed. And I think that the key is how do you use that data to really, gather powerful insights that are going to help you to connect with consumers in a way that doesn't feel like you're interrupting them, that you're creating noise, but that you're really adding value to them. And, in terms of other trends that I see is, obviously the idea of agility in marketing, I think, and the idea of us not waiting for the perfect piece of content and the idea for experimentation, I think that is going to continue to happen. Partnerships, more long-standing partnerships with the right, the right partners to communicate your brand message, I think that's going to become very, very important. We're living in a world that is getting very segmented, and I think that brands need to have a balance between brands that are iconic need to have a balance between building their continue to do big iconic work, but balance that with a lot of more segmented work powered by digital segmentation to really make that a more targeted way with consumers.
Of course, of course. Well, we have that ability, and that takes me to another question I have, which is competing against niche brands, right? Because when we talk about segmentation, you have big brands, right? That they're trying to market to everyone, and then you have specialized brands that are very, very happy living with a very, very narrow segment, and they can become very, very powerful. They can become very, very strong for that specific audience. And now they have the ability to communicate to that audience. While in the past, they didn't have the resources to do a national campaign. Now they have the means to find that audience and actually have a very, very effective marketing campaign and messaging to that audience, right? So when we think about big brands and you've worked in, you know, with big brands, what are those main challenges that they face competing against very strong, small niche brands that might be more agile, that might have a product built specifically for that specific audience?
Yeah, it's a very important challenge, like you're saying, because oftentimes those small niche brands, they are very targeted and narrow at the beginning, and they go after a small audience, and that audience essentially become ambassadors for that brand. And they really, in this day and age, again, the way that marketing works, that the those initial consumers start to spread the word, and they are essentially so in love with that particular brand that they become huge amplifiers. And before you know it, those small players start to become bigger. I think that for big brands to compete, I think that you need to be constantly monitoring what is happening in the category, what's happening with consumers, segmenting the marketplace and understand where growth is coming. You need to be able to act with a lot of speed when you see those opportunities. It goes back to what we were saying about, you need to be very clear about what your brand stands for and whether or not those emerging spaces are areas where your brand can extend to. And if those areas are areas where your brand has the right to play in those spaces, then you need to decide, hey, do I want to expand through innovation to compete in those spaces? Or do I need to create a sub-brand? Or do I need to launch a completely new brand? Or quite frankly, do I need to acquire a small niche brand? And if you acquire that small niche brand, then you need to think about whether or not you have the capability internally to really stay true to what that brand is doing and really superpower it. Otherwise, you may kill it.
Yeah, you may kill it.
Yeah. The key is also you need to move fast when these opportunities are happening. And you know, a lot of times in big companies, you have processes that are helping you to go through a lot of these journeys. And, you know, I think that big brands have to stay very focused on the consumer. The consumer is king. They are the ones that are paying you your salary. And that's the most important thing. And you need to make sure that you're very results oriented. And you need to leverage the internal processes to deliver results, but don't let the process essentially slow you down. And if you need to break, in some cases, processes to be able to compete at a very fast pace, you need to do it. Because at the end of the day, the worst thing that can happen is that the external environment starts changing faster than how you're changing internally. And then you're going to be left behind. So you need to be very militant. You need to be looking at what's happening with the category. And then you need to stay true to what the brand is. The worst thing that can happen is for a brand to try to extend into a space where it doesn't have credibility to compete. And then that can lead you into really, destroying the brand. And that has happened so many times with brands that are trying to compete against new competitors, and they start to change who they are. And it's very important for brands to stay true to who they are, but understand whether or not they have the license to expand. And if not, they need to create new brands or they need to acquire the competition. Speed is critical. You need to move with a ton of agility. And the way that I think about that is that you need to create, one of the ways to attack this is you need to create agile teams and you need to create cross-functional teams that can go after a specific problem and very quickly come back with recommendations and then act on them very, very quickly. And in a lot of ways, co-create with consumers as well.
Of course, it's fascinating, and I think it's something that hasn't changed in years, right? In decades, the fact that it's important to stay true to who you are. In the past, we talked about brand extensions, right, and how brand extensions could actually kill a brand. But now it happens way faster. Right. Yeah. And so it's interesting how that hasn't changed and the importance of staying true to your brand essence it continues to be key. I hear you talking a lot about agile teams. Tell me more about agile teams, or why don't you explain to our audience what do you mean by an agile team?
Yeah, what I mean with an agile team is oftentimes when you are in organizations, you are structured in a way that if you're in a consumer driven organization, you are structuring ways that are allowing you to compete and to run your business based on how the category is structured right now, for example. But oftentimes, you need to address a specific challenge or a specific objective. And because a lot of times the people are focusing on delivering the plan, delivering the year, you need to create a small group of teams that can attack on a specific problem. So I can go back to, for example, in Coke, for example, there were certain situations where we were trying to attack a certain specific challenge, and we were able to pull high potential people, that essentially employees that will have a leader, and the leader will probably have a functional expertise in the particular area, and then we will surround that person with other cross-functionals that we wanted to develop, and essentially you give them a very specific objective and challenge and a very clear timeline to come back with an answer, and you essentially take those that group of people out of the day-to-day business, and you allow them to come back very quickly with a solution, and you try to run that a little bit separate of how you run the day-to-day. And I think that having those type of agile teams allows you to operate in a much faster way and get back and bypass a lot of the more traditional processes on how things get done in the organization.
Okay, so it's almost like a turbo task force.
That's right.
Very good. Excellent. I know that you are, and we're coming towards the end of our conversation, but I know that you're passionate about recruitment and loyalty schemes. And I wanted to ask you about the balance. What is the balance needed between thinking about recruiting new customers and increasing the loyalty of the customers that you already have?
Yeah, I have a very strong point of view on that just because of probably my previous experience, but I have always thought that nothing replaces recruitment, right? I mean, like, if you don't recruit new consumers into your brand is going to die at some point. There's only so much that you can drive from the existing consumers, and you need to obviously maximize that and continue to add value to your consumers. But if you're not bringing new consumers, over the long term, you're going to be in trouble. So I think that recruitment to assess the health of a business is critical, and it's one of the metrics that I really pay a lot of attention. I always want to make sure that I'm working in a business where I'm seeing that we're able to attract new consumers into the brand. Once that happens, I think that to your point, I think that driving that loyalty and then thinking about what is that lifetime value of that consumer, and how can I create tools that can drive a lot more loyalty from this consumer is critical. In consumer packaged goods, you do that obviously by understanding, you know, the life cycle of that consumer. Are there any other products, different packages that I can, add value to this consumer? In the case of services, or in the case, for example, of my experience at Dunkin', obviously loyalty is an incredible piece of the business. About one third of the sales of Dunkin' were happening, you know, via and the phone. And that's extremely high, and it's only going to continue to get higher. I think that Starbucks, their numbers is about, they're a lot higher than that, and they're going towards, marching towards 50% of their sales, you know, being initiated via an order via the phone. And that obviously reduces friction, that drives a lot of convenience for consumers, and it adds values. Adds value because you're able to order ahead, and you're able to data mine that information, and you're able to add more value to that consumer. And you're able to provide more offers, you're able to provide better products, you're able to market better solutions for them. So, and that helps to drive a lot of more loyalty among that consumer. So for me, going back, recruitment, extremely important, but then more and more via digital and technology, being able to really understand that consumer, data mine that information, respect their privacy, or add more value to that consumer is going to drive a lot of loyalty. And I think that especially in services, digital driving loyalty is going to be one of the most important things that I see happening in the future.
Oh, wow. Fascinating. Fascinating. Rafael, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you spending some time with us and with our audience and talking about your thoughts on digital transformation, in particular performance marketing, marketing trends, etc. I hope we can have you again at some point in the future. This was fun. And thank you everyone for listening to this podcast. If you're interested in this type of conversations, please come to our page, Embracing Change Podcast, you'll find, you know, where you'll find many different conversations with different business leaders. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.